ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat as we talk about things that will make you think. When your parents said there's no monsters under your bed, that all things spooky are just in your head. Join us as we explore all things strange, the mysteries and tales that can't be explained. From UFOs, cryptids, ghouls, and goblins, men in black, witches, Bigfoot, and dogmen, digging deep to find the truth. Some truths may be hard to believe, some might even leave you loopy, but the truth is solely what we seek, leaving you saying, talk about spooky.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Thank you for tuning back into Talk About Spooky. I am your host, Matt.
And I'm your host, Akama.
So this week we are going to be talking about a topic that is very relevant for everyone's lives, everything that's going on. But before we get into what we're talking about, we're going to tell you a little bit about the show. So for those of you who already listen to us, make sure that you go and make sure you subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you listen to. That way you don't ever miss an episode. I know it's been a while since we've released one. You can also go back on our Facebook. We went live on Facebook for a Halloween special. It's pretty long. You can watch that to, you know, have some content, but I believe it's been quite a while. So, just make sure that you are subscribed on whichever platform you listen to us on. That way it automatically downloads or you get a notification that we have a new episode. So, anchor.fm/talkaboutspooky. That's our hosting site. But from there, our podcast gets spread out to all major platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the major ones, even the smaller ones. So, if you're not already following us on Facebook, you should, because that's basically, our main social media platform that we use. You can post on there directly. If you have a story or something cool that you just want to post, or if you just want to chat, you can do that. Akamu handles the Instagram and Twitter because I know nothing about that. Yeah, so I keep saying a lot. It's been on too long. But I did it again, see? So if you have a story or something that you would like us to cover, you can send it to us through Facebook on the Messenger or post it directly to the page. As far as I know, people can post directly to the page.
Right.
If not, notify us.
But it should work that way.
It should work. I'm pretty sure we have it set up that way. Yeah. But or you could always send it to us via email. Our email is talkaboutspooky@gmail.com. You can send it to us in a voice memo. You have a voice memo app on your phone. You could record it that way, or you can record a video and we could just pull the audio from that. Or if you would rather just send it to us, type it out. We can read it on the air. If you want to stay anonymous, we could do that as well. Or if, you have quite a bit, you could always appear on the show if that's something that you would like to do. So, yeah. And if you leave us a 5-star review, we will shout you out. If you don't leave us a 5-star review, that's okay too. All reviews really help us out. And again, make sure that you subscribe on whichever platform that you listen to us on, because it goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Anything I forgot?
No, I think you pretty much covered it all. It's pretty smooth, I think, for coming back after being incognito for a while, or MIA, I should say.
Yeah, times are crazy. Times are crazy.
Everything from elections to everyday life to COVID and financial instabilities, it's just been crazy.
Well, my whole world's been my whole world's been flipped upside down the past 2 weeks. So
yeah,
and for those of you who listen to this show who also follow our paranormal teams, if you follow mine, which is Project Paranormal, you're gonna realize what happened. All through time will tell, you'll figure it out. But I'm not going to talk about it. I'm very upset about it. And we just had a lot going on. And all I want to say before we get into this show is, regardless of how your life's going, with COVID and everything, look out for your neighbor, look out for your friends. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what side you're on or who you vote for or where you stand. Don't let that come between family, friends. You know, it's not worth it. It's been, you know, 2 weeks ongoing and everybody's really over it. So, you know, just make sure you stay aware of just stay aware of what you say and what you do, because it's really not worth it. I mean, it's been 2 weeks now and I'm over it and I really don't care, you know, so.
One thing I've noticed between me and a bunch of friends and family and stuff, especially living with, you know, a family that, heavy one-sided and heavy the other-sided. And it's just, I've kind of realized that a lot of us, we get so much different information than the other, but we shouldn't hold that against, let's see, the other person for not getting the same information. What we should hold them up to is who they are and what they stand for, because the information they may be given may be completely different and may be exactly what you stand for as well.
Sure. And it's really all, I mean, when you're reading stuff on the internet and all that kind of stuff, it's some of it really can be up to interpretation. So
yeah, that and just so many people like to there's different ways of expressing emotions, different emotions, and some people don't handle it very well, or it's their job to spread the fire kind of thing, and it really doesn't help us out. It really just breaks us down.
Yeah.
And
not worth it. It's not worth it to let
if you know the person already and it sounds like a complete surprise and 180 to who you thought you knew, at least get to continue knowing them and make sure if that's true or not, because they may be receiving different information, you know. May be appearing to choose an opposite side when really they're standing on a side that they were told was for the same reasons you stand on your opposite side, you know. It's just information I can't trust anymore.
I mean,
I just trust my friends.
Yeah, I don't know,
and personal experiences.
And that's really what you have to go off of. It's just, I understand now more than ever, you know, when people used to say, oh, it's, you know, you shouldn't ask people who they, you know, vote for. Like, that's very private information, you know. I totally understand it now. You know, if I could take back.
It shouldn't have to be that way.
Sure. And that's why I'm so conflicted. If I could take back certain things, I would I wish I could go back in time and maybe go back, you know, and do things differently. But then at the same time, it's like, that's how I feel, you know, but that's not who I am. And it's very unfortunate. And yet again, I'm going to say it. Don't let two people that you don't even know dictate your relationships with people that you do know.
Yeah, that's very true as well.
So with that being said,
smoothly into our next subject.
Yeah, which a lot of people probably have heard a lot about, which is hauntings at the White House and or surrounding monuments within the District of Columbia.
Which is in the United States, in case anybody didn't know and they thought it was in some other country. You hear it really slowly, it sounds like Columbia. You know what I mean?
Washington, D.C. people.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy, too, because you can say, around here, I don't know. When I'm on the West Coast, I'm like, hey, like, I have a lot of friends up in Washington State. I used to live there for like 6 years. Like, first off, I never had to say state. I just say Washington. They knew what I was talking about. I come over here. Now I have to specify state or D.C.
When you're around here, when you say Washington, people automatically assume it's D.C. I think it's maybe the same on both. Yeah. Before we get going, shout out, because like I said, Anchor is our hosting platform. That's where we get all of our analytics from and everything. So I'm going to shout out all these countries.
Okay.
Shout out USA. Greatest country.
USA. USA. No, I'm saying.
Shout out to Ireland, New Zealand,
Ireland,
Germany, Belgium, Sweden, Philippines, and Singapore.
Awesome. Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to everybody, yeah. And if if you hear this and you're from one of those countries, find us on Facebook at Talk About Spooky. You can find us. It's a picture of me and Akamu. We look like comic book characters. comment on that page and let us know where you listen to us from. So
that or Instagram. Instagram's blowing up too.
I forget about, I don't know.
I mean, you can't really like comment on the page, but I mean, like, you can, you know, well, comment on like posts and send a message, you know, tell us some spooky stories from your country.
I got a weird email through our email.
Hence the email. Yeah.
It was like, I think it had to do with Instagram. It was like your profile picture. I don't know, but I don't know exactly word for word what it said, but it basically was saying like, your profile picture is awesome. I would love to be able to share that on my page. Oh. I have like 80,000 people that follow me. I'm pretty sure it was spam, but I don't know.
It was very... There's a lot of spam on like Twitch and Instagram.
Okay, then that's probably like, what it was. Because I was like, what are you talking?
DM me if you want to like, you know, purchase followers. And I'm like, how do you purchase people?
Yeah, they're like, it's
America doesn't do that anymore.
It was like, do you give me permission to share your picture?
I'm sorry.
And I don't even know what you have on there. One is enough.
Like, we don't even post pictures, really. I just post videos saying, hey, we got a new episode.
We don't do anything.
I do that. I'm the brains of the organization. No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
I have no idea anything. I don't even know how to operate an Instagram. So.
All right.
Where did you want to start? Because I've got dates from way back to... It basically starts from the very first to everything.
So you have them in like chronological order?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think maybe doing it in chronological order would be easier on you rather than me being like, hey, let's start at the Capitol and work our way around.
All
like,
the minor White House. There. All the minor White House.
Oh, okay. Well, I got a bunch. So. But let's start with the White House because that seems to have some good meat to it.
Okay. Well, a lot of people should know somewhat of this. So this is from 1862 to 1863. Mary Todd Lincoln, for those of you who don't know, she was very open about doing seances in the White House because they were grieving over her son, Willie's death in February. They basically, they held seances and spirit circles in the Red Room at the White House and the Presidential Cottage at the Soldiers' Home. Spiritualism was widely popular during the height of the Civil War as families sought comfort for loss of loved ones. So now we kind of look back on it and maybe think like we couldn't imagine that happening in our present time, you know, but back then it was very popular for people to talk to the dead. And I don't know. I knew about that, you know, a long time ago that, you know, Lincoln's wife did that because they lost their son. And I think what I read one time is that Lincoln attended one of them.
But yeah, I can believe that.
But not very many. Mm-hmm. So, and I haven't gone over these notes, so I don't know. What I'm reading is first for me, too, so I don't know if this has any actual ghost stories in it. I know of more recent stuff versus older stuff, but...
Well, I have a story here that is... It's short, but it's nice. It's from the perspective of President Truman back in 1946.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the letter. So it's real. No, but so here on WashingtonPost.com says on a lonely night in 1946, President Harry S. Truman went to bed at 9 p.m. About 6 hours later, he heard it.
Knock, knock, knock.
Yep.
You ready for this harmony? Go for it.
Oh, yeah. All right. I see what you're doing here.
Go.
the sound that gets Stop it. I'm reading it first. I swear, this is off the top of my head. How are you reading my mind? We already covered this topic of psychics, okay?
No. Episode like 6 or 5.
Something like that. Go check it out. Not until after this one. So it goes on and reads, the sound against his bedroom door awakened him. He wrote to his wife in a letter that is archived in the Presidential Library and Museum. And in quote says, I jumped up and put on my bathrobe, opened the door, and no one there. Went out and looked up and down the hall, looked in your room and Margie's. Still, no one. Went back to bed after locking the doors, and there were footsteps in your room whose door I'd left open. Jumped up and looked in, no one there. The damn place is haunted, sure as shooting. That is very hard to say. I've never said that in my life.
What?
Don't worry, that was not the quote. That was my own comment. Okay, and it goes on and says, Secret Service said not even a watchman was up here at that hour. You and Margie had better come back and protect me before some of these ghosts carry me off.
Wow.
Signed, President Truman.
That's cool.
I love that story. That was fun to read. You got the next one, I'm assuming?
I do. Oh, awesome. Well, I was gonna go back to my page.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So this dates 1901 to 1904. Jeremiah Jeremy Smith started working at the White House during the Ulysses S. Grant administration in the late 1860s as a footman and served as a footman, butler, cook, butler. I said butler. Butler. Butler.
It's like a mixture of butcher and butler.
Butler.
Cook. The butler's the butcher.
Yeah, butcher. doorman and official duster until his retirement approximately 35 years later. A popular character and storyteller, reports, could always count on Smith on a slow news day. He claimed to have seen the ghost of Lincoln, Grant, McKinley, and several first ladies. Now, that's, I would say the most popular ghost seen in the White House is Lincoln.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure every president who has served in the White House has said that they have seen Lincoln.
Yeah, and was it like 5 seconds or something that they see him for? Or
oh, I don't know.
5 minutes? I think the number 5 played a role, but that doesn't really help us, does it?
So, I don't know the details on that, but
I do know there's this one sighting of him commonly, cited. He's looking out a window. People see like the back of his head, but they see a really tall body and like the tall hat, and they see he's looking out a window, and they see him kind of turn to the side and put his head down, kind of like he's ashamed of what he's seen, and he just fades away. And it's like, I'm getting goosebumps just freaking saying it.
Well, I think the reason why people say they see Lincoln more than anything is because, I mean, come on, people, all of them wore wigs, right? So from the backside, they're all going to look generally the same, you know? So
well, not Lincoln. I don't think he wore
wigs. Well, that's what I'm saying. Lincoln stands out more than, I mean, he's tall as shit.
Yeah.
You know?
He was a bit lightly deformed.
He was born 10 years after George Washington died.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, he's got some unique features that definitely make him stand out, including his size.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go? Because I've only got one
going.
More.
Yeah, you
so,
keep going.
So, 1911. One little known spirit is the unidentified 15-year-old boy called the... Wait a minute, let me restart.
Wait
this.
For it.
One little known spirit is the unidentified 15-year-old boy called the Thing that greatly frightened the Taft domestic staff in 1911. President Taft's military aide, Major Archibald Butt, wrote to his sister wrote to his sister Clara. The ghost, it seems, is a young boy about 14 or 15 years old. They say that the first knowledge one has of the presence of the Thing, why are they calling it the Thing, is a slight pressure on the shoulder, as if someone were leaning over your shoulder to see what, that's my dog, see what you might be doing. Excuse my dog. President Taft ordered Butt to tell the White House staff that the first member to repeat stories about the Thing would be fired. Ooh. Trying to keep it hush hush.
Well, conspiracies. Ghosts are aliens.
So.
Oh, man.
Oh, cool. So it gives me this.
Okay.
Side note, though, back to Abraham Lincoln. So I've been to a couple of places that one in particular stands out in my mind. It'll always stand out in my mind. I actually have a picture of it right over here. it's whatever you know it by. There's two names. The and it totally just slipped my mind. The it's called Prospect Place, or I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. I'm sorry, people. But yeah, it's called Prospect Place. If anybody watches any like cable ghost shows, Ghost Adventures went there early back. So if you really wanted to, you know, see what I'm talking about, they have an episode. But there's a ballroom there. So basically, to sum up this building, the guy who built the house is from where I am from. It's in Ohio. So he went up north, wealthy man, built this house. Back then it was a mansion. And he basically built this house to help slaves cross to the north. So it's documented for the Underground Railroad. And it has a ballroom in this house. Now, when I say mansion, you got to understand, things that are very old like that, people back then lived in very small spaces. So a mansion back then is still smaller than your average, you know, American home. So the ballroom was actually pretty large. But apparently, Lincoln, it's documented, Lincoln actually visited that ballroom, or that mansion, and, you know, spent time there in the ballroom and everything. And supposedly, now I had no, you know, anything to do with Lincoln when I went, but apparently people see Lincoln there as well. So cool. It's kind of cool, you know, when you talk about ghosts. It would
be really cool to see Lincoln. Like,
it would be fucking, I think that's the one that I would not be scared of. I mean, he's that probably girl. A very intimidating looking man, but.
Well, especially at my height. If y'all didn't know, I'm pretty down to earth, as some would say.
Yeah. But so, I mean, it just goes to show that like spirits can be in multiple places at, you know, multiple different times.
Yeah, whether that's intelligent hauntings or residual hauntings, I'm not sure. I can understand if it's residual. Sure. It's intelligent. I'm not sure if they can split their consciousness in half and go to two different places.
Sure.
That just sounds painful.
You know,
like you probably lose half your
what memory. Sucks though? We'll never be able to investigate the White House.
I know, right? Especially now.
Like, well, never. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for those that are, you know, overseas that are listening to us that don't really know a lot about American history, the White House, fun fact, is actually burnt down twice. One of the times was during Lincoln's presidency. So it's been rebuilt twice or three times. Don't
you would think that would be like an omen, right? Like the second,
well, it was first all or during second the time. Wars. Like, wars.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was just a mysterious fire broke out. Oh, no, everybody no, died. No.
So, I have some ghost lore and sightings. So, Abraham Lincoln appears in the Lincoln bedroom and yellow oval room. First Lady Grace. I'm American and I don't even know what these people. First Lady.
Deported. No, I'm just kidding.
Gone.
Oh my God.
First Lady Grace Coolidge, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and Queen Queen W. That's what I'm going to call her. Queen W. Washington. Of the Netherlands claimed to have seen Lincoln.
That's cool.
Willie Lincoln, which is their son. So Willie Lincoln, who died in the White House, was seen in the White House by staff members of the Grant administration in the 1870s. Andrew Jackson, supposedly lying in his bed in the Queen's bedroom, Rose's room, lets out a guttural laugh that has been heard in the White House since the 1860s. Mary Todd Lincoln claimed to have heard Jackson stomping and swearing. That's fucking creepy.
That is actually pretty cool, though. What's a guttural laugh? Like ho 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 kind of shit?
Yeah, it would be like a ho ho ho.
Really?
It would be, not like
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No. So it would be like a very like coming from the gut kind of
do
like.
Do the not, roar. What do roar? The laugh. The what laugh. That it was a phrase from Shrek. Like a ho- I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do it. I want to see what it sounds like because I really don't know.
I don't want to hurt myself.
okay.
So we got Thomas Jefferson plays his violin in the yellow oval room. Fucking cool, bro. Is Dolly, probably.
Imagine if he wasn't good. That would just suck.
Yeah.
Fucking Squidward in the oval room, like, it's like, oh my God, not again.
Dolly Madison protects the Rose Garden. John Tyler haunts the Blue Room, proposing to Julia Gardner, his second wife. William Henry Harrison haunts the attic. There's an attic?
Man. I mean, you would expect at least the White House to have an attic.
He was the first president. We're not that privileged. Oh, William Henry Harrison was the first president to die in the White House.
I'm guessing he haunts it.
Yeah, it says he haunts the attic.
Cool.
Abigail Adams. I don't know.
It's weird.
Abigail Adams hung laundry in the East Room, and contemporary staff can smell wet laundry and the scent of lavender.
Nice. That's actually laundry scent.
Unnamed British soldier. An unnamed British
British soldier. Oh, that is a tongue twister. People say that five times fast.
An unnamed British soldier who perished during the War of 1812 roams the White House grounds holding a torch. Bruh. David Burns owned the land on which the White House now stands, seen or heard in the Yellow Oval Room. Did not know that.
So here, really quick, just to piggyback off of your laundry thing. I don't know if this is referring to the same person. But, actually, no. But it's very brief. It just says, as a list of hauntings, one of the things it says is, a first lady who is sadly perpetually stuck doing laundry.
Yeah, that's her.
That's her?
Okay. That would be her.
That sucks. They're just not doing dishes.
Yeah.
That's like hell.
No one wants to smell a wet sponge.
For all eternity.
Anna Surratt bangs on the doors of the White House, pleading to see President Andrew Johnson. She was there to beg for a pardon for her mother, Lincoln assassination conspirator Mary Surratt.
Wow. Epic. Wow. That's intense.
I'm telling you, Lincoln is the most popular one. What's pretty cool is so today, 2 days today, what's today? Today's Tuesday. So okay, so yes. This past Friday, I went to Jamestown.
Okay. Nice.
So I went there, which you didn't. I went there as a kid. I think it was like fourth or fifth grade. We went down for a field trip. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to go back because it was just a very cool experience for me. And I wanted to go back as an adult just to see, what I remembered and everything. But I think when we went as kids, because there's a couple of different places that you can go to. So I think we went to a different place when I was a kid. But when I went back this time, I went to basically where they reconstructed things and made it look like how it was going to look. And they had reenactors there and everything.
Cool. Kind of like Williamsburg.
That's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Jamestown is in the triangle, right? I thought Jamestown was south or something like that.
No, Jamestown is inside of Williamsburg.
I guess I've been there then.
I think I went to Old Town York as a kid.
Yeah, I've been to Yorktown. I've been to Williamsburg. I've been to this reenacted historical part of Williamsburg. But then I drove to a separate thing that was more considered, I guess, Jamestown. But I didn't have $17 to get the car, so I didn't get to go.
Oh, yeah. So when you drive down that road, basically the very, very end is historic Jamestown, and that's where they have the original stuff. And then, if you go back, when you're going back, you come up to
north or, northwest of Jamestown, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The center, right, with historic Williamsburg.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but I just know down that road it went historic Jamestown, and then it went it's like a museum you can walk through, and it's a museum basically, and then you have outside stuff that is museum stuff too. So,
oh yeah,
yeah, and it's they recreate it, and then they have the glass house, and then you keep going, but the one we were going to go to, but we ran out of time, was like historic Yorktown, and that's like the Revolutionary War stuff, and it talks about George Washington and everything. But when we went to historic Jamestown, I definitely did not go there as a kid because it's very adult, like it's not fun for a kid. It's very
death and sickness everywhere. Well, very well reenacted.
There's not really much for you to really comprehend as a child, but like going there as an adult, man, I can tell you right now, I felt it was badass for one. Okay. And it just felt
like it just traveled.
No, it felt well, yeah, kinda, but it also felt like, I don't know, dude, like this is from me to you. So I felt very humble, but I also felt very like it felt full and it also like
felt full.
it's so hard to explain. When I went there, like for people who have gone to museums and stuff, it's like, okay, this, you know, that's cool, whatever, you know, it's boring, you're reading, you're looking at stuff, it's
unless
different
in the dinosaur section.
Yeah, but it's different when you're actually somewhere that these things are still standing from 1607.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like touching the doorknob that Abraham Lincoln touched or something like that. And you're exactly. Like, are you freaking serious? Exactly. Like, I tripped like that when I was like a kid, though. Like, I saw that when I was like 8, 10, something like that.
And it was just a weird feeling knowing, like, hey, I'm standing here right now. And this is where people were, you know, hundreds of years ago. I'm physically touching the same thing, and I'm seeing the same thing they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that can be torn down by man, or it's not a structure. This is a plot of land that you can see the remnants and ruins of what we wouldn't have America today if it wasn't for this settlement.
Unless they build a CVS on it, then that kind of gets in the way.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
They preserve it.
Yeah, Jamestown, and there's no houses anywhere. I mean, it's all preserved. You cannot touch it. And I mean, still, even to this day,
that's awesome.
When we went, it was colder. So, and I think that they only do it during good weather. But you can see where they have like plots where they're still digging. It's got like sections in it. You know, they're digging down and everything. But when it's bad weather, they cover it up with heavy tarp and put sandbags on it and everything. So you'll see a couple of them here and there. Mm-hmm. But like, there's the original triangle that John Smith, it was the fort. It was the Jamestown Fort. And then they have an old church that they have used brick. It's more modern looking.
I know which one you're talking about.
They've used brick from
that
they found on the property to redo this church.
Yeah.
And they have a couple of people buried outside. They actually have a knight that's buried outside.
Oh, that's cool.
And and then like when you're looking at the water, when you go to the left, it's, you just see like ruins. It's, you don't, they're not even buildings. So you just see like the corners foundation. and they can't dig them because they tried to dig them and they were collapsing. So they just decided it's not worth it. We're just going to leave them. So basically you're at the fort, you're looking at the water, you look to your left and you just see kind of like an open field and you just see what could have been, you know, what it was. And it's just, I don't know, bro, like it's hard for me to explain. It wasn't like a normal museum where you walk through and you just see artifacts and you're like, oh yeah, that's cool, you know, glad, you know, whatever, blah blah blah, bro. It felt full, like it's hard for me to explain it. Like I felt like I could see, I felt like how they felt when they
like
first came
trip.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It's, I felt like awesome. I was them coming off the boat, and
That's awesome, man.
it was fucking weird. Like, you can even ask my wife. I was so excited, man.
See, funny
and they
story.
Do ghost tours.
Oh, man, we got to do that. So, funny
for
story.
3 hours, 3 hours away.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I've done the trip a few times. But, so, funny story. When I first went to Williamsburg, after, like, probably years of not going, because I didn't remember anything. I remember bits and pieces while I was there. But when I went again recently, as in like the last couple of years, but I guess I didn't remember that there was going to be reenactors. I thought it was like a historic town. So I'm walking up and there's somebody in a bonnet to the left doing laundry or something. And I'm just like, tap my friend, like, hey, do you see that? Like, person's dead? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, good, good. Fun fact, I see dead people So it can be very confusing sometimes.
Why is a white guy dressed like an Indian?
Yeah, right. No. Actually, no, they did really well with the who was dressed as what kind of thing. They really played the part out very well. There was this other place, I think it was in... Actually, I think it was in New... What's it? I want to say it was near New York. But they kind of have a reenactment area with Native Americans and such. And give or take, had like Native people actually playing the part for the reenactment. Like they actually tried to make it as realistic and close and respectful as possible with like the different cultures. It was really, really well done, really cool. I wish I remember what the place was called, but it was in New York. Pretty cool. Anyway, so away from New York and back towards DC, right?
Actually, we're gonna go to Philadelphia.
We're going to Philadelphia. Okay, we're gonna make a pit stop. Gotta pee.
So I found like a little bit more in detail stuff. So okay. One of the names I mentioned before, which is Abigail Adams, her husband is John, the second president of the United States in 1797 to 1801, moved to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue from the former U.S. Capitol in Philadelphia. At the time, Washington, D.C. was still just a town, but mostly on swampy land on the banks of the Potomac River.
It's pretty much still on swampy land.
Yeah. Because the east room of the new White House was the warmest and driest, Abigail used it to hang the wash. That's the lavender ghost. Her ghost, clad in a cap and lace shawl, has reportedly been seen heading towards the east room, arms outstretched as if carrying laundry. That's terrible.
Yeah. Imagine if she's walking towards you with arms outstretched. Like, you don't see the basket.
If I saw a ghost coming at me with a basket of laundry, like, well, I would automatically assume it's a real person. Like,
apparently it said as if holding laundry.
You don't see the basket. Yeah, that's really weird. Like,
the basket has no soul.
So it's like a lady coming at you for a hug.
But yeah, really she's like carrying
laundry.
6 feet.
You know, laundry baskets have souls too.
Not red ones. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, man. We probably just lost some viewers. I am sorry. I didn't mean that personally.
Says Lincoln, who is believed to have, and see, I was right, who is believed to have attended only two of the seances.
I thought you said one.
I said one. Yeah, I did say one, but in my head I was thinking two, but I didn't want to be wrong. His wife held in the White House actually foresaw his own death. That's what I remember about that.
Yes, I remember.
He foresaw his own death more than once, including in a dream he had shortly before he was killed. Now that's a fun fact. If you guys want to look that up, it's pretty fucking cool. Like, that's documented stuff. You know, he predicted his own death.
It's so just sucks. You know, it's like, why get all these warnings just to freaking die anyway?
I'm about to look something up. Bear with me. Tell a story.
Well, so yeah, they don't quick hear me fun fact away. About that. La, la, la. No, but quick fun. Another quick fact or fun fact about that is
I'm not going to play the elevator music this time.
Oh my God. So there is a movie called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. As hard as that sounds. As awful as that sounds, it actually wasn't bad, and I've watched it more than once. It's actually pretty fun to watch. And just the concept and the, this would be badass, if, you know, like, if it actually was a thing. It's pretty cool. But at the very end, when it, like, kind of calms down with the crazy vampire stuff, and he's, like, president now, and he's older now, and he has his wife, and he's typing away, like, his story. I say typing away. He's probably writing away.
What but movie anyway, are you talking about?
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome. Anyway, but yeah, like at the very end, his wife's like out the window and I guess calls up to him and is like, Abe, come on, we're gonna be late for the play. And he's like, all right, hun. And that's where it ends. And I'm like, no, because he's gonna freaking die. It freaking sucks. He went through all this saving the entire country and then he freaking... It's like, oh man.
So,
for some reason, I didn't expect that.
I remember finding something like a while back, and I was like, bro, that's fucking creepy.
Okay.
So this is for like anybody who's a conspiracy theorist. but this is real shit. So, like, I mean, just listen, people. It's fucking creepy. So, this is between Abraham Lincoln and JFK, John F. Kennedy. Okay? Abraham Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846. John F. Kennedy was elected to Congress in 1946. Abraham Lincoln was elected president in 1860. John F. Kennedy was elected president in 1960. The names Lincoln and Kennedy each contain seven letters. Both were particularly concerned with civil rights. Both wives lost their children while living in the White House. Both presidents were shot on a Friday. Both were shot in the head. Lincoln's secretary, Kennedy, warned him not to go to the theater. Kennedy's secretary, Lincoln, warned him not to go to Dallas. Are you listening to me? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? This is some creepy shit.
Okay. I'm starting to zone out.
Listen, don't say that. Listen, it says Lincoln's, this is the comparisons between the two.
All right.
Lincoln's secretary, Kennedy, warned him not to go to the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy's secretary, Lincoln, warned him not to go to Dallas. Both were assassinated by Southerners. Both were succeeded by Southerners. Both successors were named Johnson.
Dun, dun, dun.
Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Lincoln, was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson, who succeeded Kennedy, was born in 1908.
Oh my God.
Both assassins were known by their three names. Both names are comprised of 15 letters. Both ran.
This sounds like something you would figure out.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Both ran from the theater and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from a warehouse and was caught in a theater. Booth and Oswald were assassinated before their trials.
Damn.
Despite seemingly an impressive surface appearances, several of these entries are either misleading or factually incorrect, and the rest are mostly mere superficial coincidences that fail to touch upon the much more substantial differences in whatever. This Why are you gonna ruin it? But yeah, I mean, it goes way further. I mean, it goes way further, bro. Like,
I feel like you could figure some stuff out with numerology because you have a thing for numerology and names and stuff.
When I saw this, I'm like, bro, are you like, is it like, slow? It was like, all right, that's, you know, that's a coincidence. Oh, that's a coincidence. And then when I got to the
third coincidence,
it was like Lincoln's secretary Kennedy warned him not to go to the theater. Kennedy's secretary Lincoln warned him not to go to Dallas. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And for those of you who don't know anything about American history, the presidents that have been assassinated, it's always been like so many years apart. Like it happens to every president after like, I don't know, like two 17 decades
years or something.
Something, yeah. Like it's fucking weird.
Something. Cool. So I have a funny, I don't know if it's considered funny. To me, it was kind of funny because I can only imagine what this guy said. But, just a quick read. It says, John Linthal, clerk to architect Benjamin Latrobe, I guess that's how you say it, cursed the building with his dying breath. Linthal was working on what is today referred to as the old Supreme Court when he mistakenly removed wooden supports during construction of the space. An arch in the room collapsed and killed him. Folklore proclaims that as Linthal lay dying, he cursed the building before ultimately expiring. And it made me wonder, like, what did he say? How did he curse it? Like, they don't go into further detail. Did he say, fuck? Or did he just be like, screw this building or something? You know, like, is the building cursed? Or did he, quote unquote, curse it because he just said a bad word? I don't know. But, I mean, shit, if I was being compressed by stone, I'd probably say fuck, too.
See, I wonder, like, because the White House is so old, and I don't know if this information is ever or will ever be out to the public, but they used to, you know, I don't know if anybody like has died or been murdered in the White House, you know, because they did hangings and all that stuff.
Well, I
like,
mean, if they did, it would be covered up, I'm sure.
Right, but I'm thinking like, you know, back then it was common to, you know, hang people, and where's a better place to, you know? And then not only that, I mean, I don't know when the White House was actually built and referenced to certain wars. Like, I don't know if... Yeah, I don't know, like, if maybe a battle was fought there. And, well, yeah, but I don't know if there was, like, a battle fought there. And I don't know.
Yeah. I know this. I think there were battles nearby, but I don't think they got that close to White House. At least when it came to burning them down. Yeah, that, you know what? I could be wrong. I mean, yeah, I wasn't there. I don't know. But so I have a John Quincy Adams quick read, because I just came across another one. It's actually kind of funny and also kind of frightening. If you think about it from your own point of view, if you're alone and this just kind of happened randomly in like a dark space.
What if a ghost farted in the dark? Like, that would be scary.
If a ghost farted and no one's around to hear it, does it make a smell?
I don't know.
It's been a while. I need to get all the corny jokes out. All right. So apparently the voice of John Quincy Adams can be heard shouting no near the speaker's lobby. So during that debate on the floor of the House of Representatives, Adams loudly voted no on a resolution, then promptly collapsed at his desk. He was moved to the speaker's lobby, where he fell into a coma and died 2 days later. Some Capitol employees claimed to hear someone shouting no late at night. And it's not like a no, it's like a I object kind of thing. So like, imagine just being like chilling there, and all of a sudden you just hear Adams go, no! Like, what the fuck? That would terrify the shit out of me. I'd be like, no, what? Okay, yeah. No, I'm not doing it. Like, what's going on? You know?
I'd probably be more scared at a ghost farting, though.
Really?
Probably.
Kind of like a dog when it farts, and it's like, what the fuck? Oh, man, fart jokes. What does this podcast come to?
So I got a thing. It says, a lesser-known early White House personality who has been said to haunt its halls was... David Burns. I'm pretty sure I already brought his name up. I did, but this goes into more detail. It says he sold the government most of the land on which the city of Washington, including the presidential residence, was built on. Lillian Rogers Parks, a seamstress. I'm sorry, people, don't judge me. A seamstress who chronicled her 30-year career working at the White House in 1961 told the story of a valet to President Franklin D. Roosevelt, who reportedly heard a disembodied voice coming from a distance in the yellow oval room saying, "I'm Mr. Burns." During Harry S. Truman's administration, a guard heard a similar voice, thinking it was then Secretary of State James Burns, spelt differently. He went looking for him, only to learn that the secretary hadn't been at the White House that day. You know, I'm finding very similar, like, similar things as far as where most of this activity is, you know, happening. You got the Yellow Oval Room, and then the Lincoln Room, and the Red Room, or Rose Room, or whatever it was. Oh, no. What did I do? Okay.
I have some really good info on Lincoln stuff. There's so many. Like, I'm starting to lose track of which ones we've covered already. There's so many.
So, yeah, see, I keep seeing stuff about Lincoln and Lincoln's wife. He's literally, yeah, it says right here, Abraham Lincoln is by far the most frequently reported sighting in the White House over the years. So by far the most frequently reported sighting in the White House over the years has been the ghost, or at least the presence, of the celebrated 16th President Abraham Lincoln, whose life was cut tragically short by an assassin's bullet in April 1865. Grace Coolidge, wife of President Calvin Coolidge, 1923-29, was the first person to say she had actually seen Lincoln's ghost. According to her, the lanky foreman, or former foreman.
Foreman? Like, please, Eric Foreman?
Please do not judge me, people. It's late. I've got so much on my mind. It's late for me. A According to her, the lanky former president was standing looking out a window of the Oval Office across the Potomac to the former Civil War battlefields beyond. So, boom, answered question. Yeah. There was battles fought there. Lady Bird Johnson, wife of President Lyndon Johnson, reportedly felt Lincoln's presence one night while watching a television program about his death. Well, duh. Come on now.
Well, I got something similar here that actually mentions that as well, but it describes it, I think, a little differently. Oh, okay. I thought you were still wrapping up. You want me to jump in on this?
Go for it, because you could say yours, and then I've got this other
bit. So basically, on according to DCGhosts.com, it says, other ghosts that have been seen include Abraham Lincoln's tall, imposing silhouette seen long after he shuffled off his mortal coil. That is very well written, okay. Bess Truman, who was the first lady during the presidency of her husband, Harry Truman, often heard rattling outside the Lincoln bedroom. But Miss Truman was not alone. The first lady before her, Eleanor Roosevelt, said she would often feel a presence outside the Lincoln bedroom. Even Roosevelt's dog, Fala, would bark for no apparent reason at times. More reports come from the huge list of, dignitaries. Oh, that's not a big word. Who have either visited or spent the night at the White House. It's just really small lettering. A recent report was from Maureen Reagan, the daughter of President Ronald Reagan, who believed she had seen a ghostly figure standing in the White House hallway, once again outside the Lincoln bedroom of the White House, or spent the night at the White House, the last known presence. Oh, okay, that was just a chopped sentence. But Lincoln, man, just hit the room, being outside the room, being nearby, like seeing him literally, like, what is up?
So sightings of Lincoln's ghost were frequently reported during the long administration of Franklin D. Roosevelt. He served four terms. He's the only president to serve four terms. And because of him, not because of him, but, you know, we don't do that anymore because of him, not in a bad way. But it says during his long administration, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who also presided over his country during a time of great upheaval. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, back to what you were saying, used the Lincoln bedroom as her study and said she would feel his presence when she worked there late at night. During her visit to the White House, Queen W, we're going to go back to her, Queen W of the Netherlands. How do I spell it?
Yeah, I'm curious.
W-I-L-H-E-L-M-I-N-A.
Wilhelmia?
I guess. But that doesn't even...
Is there an N in there?
Yeah, it's W-I-L, Will, Helm.
Helm?
In a Wilhelmina. Yeah.
Oh, Wilhelmina.
I don't know. Queen W.
Hamina.
Of the Netherlands heard a knock on her bedroom door in the night. When she answered it, she reportedly saw Lincoln's ghost wearing his top hat and fainted dead away.
Just the top hat?
Ooh.
Scandalous.
British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who visited the White House more than once during World War II, told a story of emerging naked from his evening bath, smoking his custom cigar.
That's awesome.
Only to find a ghostly Lincoln sitting by the fireplace in his room. Bro, I need to see you, Lincoln. I need you.
Run for president.
Yeah. No, you don't want me to be president.
So many haunted locations near the White House and Capitol.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's reports of, like, the Lincoln Memorial being haunted and
all of these buildings. Have you heard about the Octagon House? The Octagon House? There's so many in the world, especially Virginia, but the Octagon House in D.C.,
No, I don't know about the Octagon House in D.C. I know about the other Octagon House.
So I think this is also near the Dolly Madison House, if I'm not mistaken. But I've actually been in this Octagon House. It's very well preserved.
Oh, okay.
You get to walk up and down the stairs. I actually asked the lady at the front, because I'm weird like this. I'll be straight up with you. I'll walk and be like, so are there ghosts here? And the lady actually told me that sometimes people smell like a perfume on the stairwell when nobody's there. And supposedly it's always the same scent. And nobody knows where it comes from. So that she's assuming it's probably like Dolly Madison or somebody. What experience I had, I'm not sure if it's technically paranormal, but I decided to go, after visiting the upstairs, I came back down to the main level and I decided to go downstairs to the basement, which is not a scary, spooky, you know, conjuring basement or anything. It's like stonework and like they got a makeshift, like, not makeshift, but got like an up-to-date bathroom in there. And it's got a motion sensor light switch. So when you walk in, the lights turn on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come down the stairs, there's a room. It's got some barrels in there, wooden barrels. And to the left, there's a doorway, you know, on the left side of the room, to the bathroom. It's open. And there's like a window at the end. I was nowhere near the bathroom and the light turned on. And the motion sensor is on the inside of the wall, like the other side of the wall where you walk in, as if you're going to flip the light switch on the right. It's obviously not on the outside, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody's in the bathroom. I didn't go down there to use it. I'm just saying this is where it happened. I went in because I was like, didn't see anybody move. And the light turned on and I was like, what? And checked it out. Nobody's there. And that's how I noticed it was a motion sensor light switch. So I'm like, what turned the light on? So I told the lady upstairs and she was kind of a little spooked about it. But we didn't make a big deal over it. They didn't shut down or nothing. But it was interesting. They got some stories for the Octagon House here on DCGhost.com. Short read, but it says, if the spirit of Dolly Madison is not making herself felt on the White House grounds, she would probably be here at the Octagon House. Her husband, then President James Madison, and herself resided here shortly after the White House burned down during the War of 1812. There you go. Before that, this was the home of Colonel John Taylor and his family, who built the oddly shaped building, hence Octagon House. Let me say, read why it's called the Octagon House, even though it only has six sides. Actually, that's actually fine. I didn't even realize it only has six sides and it's called the Octagon House. So yeah, I got to read up on that later. But it says, aside from Dolly Madison being an unwelcome presence, okay, others have bells ringing for no apparent reason, and even I think have heard bells ringing for no apparent reason, and even some screams that belong to young girls. The screams could be from the spirits of the daughter of Colonel Taylor. One of his girls is said to have died here at the Octagon House after falling over a stairway railing and plunging to her death on the elegant octagonal design of the wood floor below. Well, actually, that's probably why they call it the Octagon House. But, yeah, that's the story that they actually tell us. You know, has that set. Stairs are commonly used. Everybody puts their energy into it so much that maybe Dolly Madison used the stairs a lot and she wore, you know, it, we never know, I guess. But
yeah.
Unless there's some sort of documentation with a certain scent perfume that was a favorite of somebody's. But yeah, it's a. That would suck. You know, you're just sitting there waiting for people to roll through so you can be like, here's a little tour pass and you can do a self-guided tour or listen to these audio things. And, you know, you're just sitting there for 4 hours, nothing's happening, it's all quiet. And all of a sudden you just hear a blood-curdling scream.
All right,
that would suck.
I take it back. I don't want to see Lincoln because I'm looking at pictures of him and...
Yeah, he looked freaky, don't he?
He's kind of creepy looking, yeah. And he's
6'4".
I mean,
not in a bad way. He's a great guy, but...
He's 6'4", and... his hat adds 8 inches to that. Mm. So, yeah, no, I'm good.
I wouldn't be surprised if he wore platform shoes.
He'd scare the shit out of me, probably. And I'm actually kind of shocked he's that tall, you know, and George Washington's 6'2". That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
George Washington's 6'2". I always thought of him to be a shorter guy.
Short guy, yeah. Because he's like, what, 22 or something?
George Washington?
George Washington was the youngest president in history.
Wrong.
Oh, come on. Serious?
JFK. Come on.
JFK. Oh, you know what? Before JFK, he was the youngest president.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. Okay. Then again, everything I learned in like elementary and middle and high school have all been a lie. So maybe I am wrong. I'll take that. Washington. Wait, George. Georgie. And then age. 67 years. Well, he died, I think, at 67 years. When did he become president?
He became president. JFK is definitely the youngest.
So, 1789, and he was born 1732.
George Washington. All right, hold on, people. I'm going to be typing, so bear with me.
So, 57 years old when he came into office. Okay. Oh, you know what? Maybe it had to do with the, you know, leading, being a general or whatever.
You ready?
Sure.
It's probably going to blow your mind. The youngest president ever was JFK. Do you know who the oldest person to assume presidency is?
Who?
Donald Trump.
Oh. Well, there you go. History.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that. I thought he was like old.
I knew Donald Trump was old. But wait a minute. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going off like looking up stupid stuff on Google. Okay. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of documentaries out there. If you're interested in your history, if you're from the States or, if, you know, you're not from the States, there's tons of like shows about, you know, haunted White House and stuff like that. And, and I'm sure, you know, they talk about other places that these spirits are known to be seen and everything.
George Washington was 44 years old when he became general. Maybe that's a record. I don't know.
General, just, not president. General.
Yeah, I know. I knew he had a record being youngest of something.
Fun and I'm fact.
It has something to do with war, maybe, I guess.
Fun fact, they wanted to make him king of the United States, and he said absolutely not because they
succeeded corruption.
England.
Yeah.
Then that's when they came up with president, and he served 2 years, and they wanted him to keep, or 2 terms, they wanted him to keep going, and he's like, nah, bro.
That just turns into a king.
So,
imagine that, George Washington with a crown on our dollar bill.
Yeah, no, thank you. But yeah, I mean, if you want to know more and go and like have more in depth things, you can always go and look up a documentary about the ghost of the White House and everything. There's tons out there. It's a very well known, popular thing. And if you're, you know, within the area and you've never been to Washington D.C., the mall is what we call it. It's basically the strip of the road that has all it's the like monuments and everything on it, and there's a lot of old and historical things. It's very cool. But I think that's all we can really find on there, because I think if we keep delving deeper and deeper into it, it's just going to pull us away from the White House, or we're just going to keep talking about Lincoln. Because
I see stuff on the Smithsonian Castle, Lafayette Square Park, which is right in front of the White House.
Yeah, and like let's just say, like, hypothetically, I don't know if this is true or not, but like let's just say that Abraham Lincoln's top hat is at a museum in another state. You're going to find reports of, you know, him being seen there.
I'm sure that got some sort of residual energy on it.
Yeah. If people have seen him at the, you know, this place in Ohio that I was talking about, which is far away, and you only visited it one time.
And down in Richmond and at the White House. It's like Elvis. You see him everywhere.
And I'm sure he's there at the theater and everything, and where he was, you know, so.
Which I am this close to be able to possibly investigate there.
I don't even know where it is.
Bird Theater.
Where is it?
It's in Richmond.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's you have to catch him, like the you have to.
No, I'm saying I didn't
catch
know that,
him at the right time to.
I didn't know that it was in Virginia.
I actually have an email, so I should probably actually email him when I'm ready.
But
financial struggles.
Yep, it's pretty cool. You know, they said that the White House was haunted before it was even built, so
Native American lands, I can believe that.
It just makes sense that it's such an Americana thing. You know, if anyone's going to stay back and linger, it's going to be somebody who, you know, was the president of the United States, along with their first lady is, and all that stuff. And there's, you know, there's also more stuff as far as like their pets and stuff. Dig down the hole, watch the documentaries. It's cool. But for the most part, I think we covered, you know, the general topics of it, you know, the most basic, simple, well-known ones.
Yeah.
But there's tons and tons and tons.
Yeah. We would be on this podcast for like 12 hours if we try to cover all of it. So much. It's so dumb. There's so much hauntings and nothing we could do about that. Actually, I remember we covered one last thing. What's that? We covered one thing, I think, lightly. I don't think it was a main subject. We lightly covered something on one of our prior podcasts, correct me if I'm wrong, about the DC cat.
No.
No?
No.
Do you know about the DC cat?
No.
It's also known as the Demon Cat, as the abbreviations for DC, because it happens in DC.
No.
It's apparently a black cat that shows up as an omen when something nationally tragic or bad is about to happen, as this cat apparently showed up right before 9/11 happened, and showed up right before like some assassinations happened, stuff like that. Apparently, according to some of these security guards who have like quit because of this, they describe it as a cat that shows up as just a regular old cat. This one guy said it charged towards him, and he's like, it's just a little cat, what the fuck, you know? But then it grew in size to a very uncomfortable size that he actually whipped out his gun and started popping rounds at it. What? And then he could hear it, like, hitting the ground behind it, but he couldn't actually hit it as if they were going right through. And then it just disappeared before it actually got him. And it scared him so much, he fucking quit that night. And apparently multiple people have seen this cat. And it just kind of like grows in size, and like it just scares people. But it's like people, you know, call it the demon cat and shit, you know, because it sounds scary and, oh, demons are evil and all this stuff. And like this cat's really just letting you know, hey, something crazy is about to happen, you know. But why a cat? That's another thing, you know.
I don't know.
Like, I guess you trust it. You're like, oh, look, kitty, I'm gonna go.
I mean, it's DC, and there's probably a lot of feral cats and stuff like
that.
There
are a lot of feral cats. Not ones that grow to the size of a freaking mammoth, but
yeah. Well, what's cool is I actually, during my construction days, I was actually working for a company. Me and my dad, underneath the Capitol, there are hot water. They're hot and cold water lines, big massive lines. We actually had to demo out the concrete pad that was supporting the lines. Like as soon as you go down in the hole, we had to demo out the concrete slab and re-pour it. So we were actually underneath the Capitol. It was pretty cool. And I also had to pour a slab for one of the motors to sit on. They were adding a motor to the building where they print money in Washington, D.C. There's only like a couple places that actually do that. So it was pretty cool. They were like, hey, if you need water to mix your concrete, knock on the door. If you open this door, we will shoot. So, like, we were being watched the whole time because, like, literally they're printing money above us. They were like car motors, bro. Like, singular bunch of car motors that were running that was creating the money up above us. But, yeah.
Wow.
And when my dad had his construction company, he told me this. He only told me this because we didn't end up getting it, but he actually bid and almost won. I think we did get it, but something fell through for construction on the White House. It was, we had to do something like demo something and pour something in the White House. And the crazy thing is that he was told that when we went in here, each person had to have like a government clearance to go into this building, but like we could not talk about the job until like 3 years after it was complete, and we could only do it at night, and we couldn't go through the White House. We had to go in through the window, like we weren't allowed. Yeah, and we were going to be under like like surveillance and everything. And
that's crazy.
I think the reason why we didn't end up doing it, no, this was a while ago. We never ended up doing it. And I think it was because my dad didn't have enough people at the time to be able to get that clearance, because, you know, we had a lot of Hispanic people that were working for us that were on work visas and child support, you know, all, you know, we just didn't have enough people that could get government clearance. So I don't think that we were able to get that job, but my dad bid it. And like, it was a thing. And my dad told me, he's like, you can't talk about this for like 3 years. And I was fucking telling everybody.
I'm sorry. All right. So, I just found a thing real quick on the demon cat, a little information on like why a cat and stuff like that. It's on scarydc.com. So it says, not all capital hauntings are related to people who work there in the haunted halls of Congress's home. One haunting has its beginning in the city's rodent problem in the 19th century. This is perhaps unsurprising for a city built near so many rivers. What are the politicians to do but use the universal solution to a rodent problem? A century ago, cats were used in the building to curb the rodent population. Mm-hmm. In time, all but one disappeared, were adopted, or died off. Whatever the case may be, a black cat has been seen around the Capitol for over a century. First off, that's a really old cat. Running loose in the basement and prowling in the halls of Congress. This cat has been known to surprise the guards and the Capitol Police as they make their rounds. The cat has been given the nickname DC, short for Demon Cat. A creepy detail of some versions of the story warns that while the demon cat may first appear as a small and helpless looking kitten, it grows in size and wow, that's somebody needs to retype this. And
I'm glad
moves.
I'm not the only one.
Moves close, grows in size and menace the closer one moves towards it. I don't know what they meant there, which foretells misfortune just before national tragedies or changes in presidential administration. One of the first appearances of the infamous demon cat in the United States Capitol may have been to foretell the death of John Quincy Adams. It also appeared before the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, the October 1929 stock market crash, and the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The demon cat is only ghost in the country that has a professional sports team named after it. The DC Demon Cats, a woman's professional rolling skating team, is named after the supernatural cat. Wow, they put that on. They did basically just reading themselves. I could type better than this, just saying. During the summer, this is the last sentence, I swear. One of the last sentences. During the summer, the cat has not only been seen in the halls, but has repeatedly appeared in Washington's tomb at Mount Vernon. Oh shit, it's all the way out in Mount Vernon. I didn't even know that. It could just been a cat. Even ghosts go away for the summer. What will be the next event that the demon cat will foretell? Yeah. It's so funnily written. Oh my god. Yeah. I am sorry, but you get the point.
You gotta love the internet.
Oh, that was awful. But yeah, Demon Cat, a lot of shit. You want me to wrap it up here, or did you want to add something?
No, I think we covered everything.
We covered a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. That is all we had to go to. And I'm sure you guys got other things to do.
Repeat what you just said, because you just blah, blah, blah.
I said blah. Yeah. What is going on with my internet?
Just don't move and talk.
I will not move. Okay. But yeah. All right. So that's all we got for this episode today. Thank you for tuning in. My screen went black and I'm supposed to use these notes. Okay. Don't forget, you can find us at anchor.fm/talkaboutspooky. Well, our podcasts, they are distributed out to all the major streaming podcast platforms such as Spotify and iHeart and so on and so forth. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Talk About Spooky. If you got a story you'd like to let us know about, definitely post them in those social medias or send us an email at talkaboutspooky@gmail.com. If you want to get a shout out, don't forget to give us a 5-star review if your podcast platform allows you to do so. And if we don't deserve the 5-star review, definitely give us a 4-star and let us know why. say goodbye for like.
Don't forget to subscribe as well.
Yes. That way, like, follow, subscribe, comment, share.
Yeah. And I do believe that the only platform that allows you to leave a review is Apple Podcasts. So if you listen to us on there and you would like to give us a review, we only have one so far. We will greatly appreciate that. Yeah. And I think we're going to try to stay on
every other Monday.
Yeah, we're gonna try to keep up with the schedule. It's just, you know, doing the Halloween thing, and shortly after that, just things just kind of went
crashing down.
Things just kind of got crazy for everybody. I mean, I've got personal stuff going on, and you know, along with the politics, and then you got the COVID and all that crap. So, hopefully, you know, this puts us back on schedule, and we can continue from there. We really didn't know we were going to be really like recording today, and so the topic just kind of came. I mean,
it was an idea. That's usually what happens with my ideas; they just kind of pop up the day.
And
before.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, because of what's going on. So, yeah, just whenever this releases, we will probably be releasing the next episode 2 weeks after this one goes live. So we're gonna stay on the 2 week schedule. As of right now, and if things change, then you'll be notified on our social medias. If you don't follow on there, you should. Yeah, and that's basically all I've got. And all
right, cool.
Remember, don't let things like, you know, what's going on in the world divide you. You know, we need each other now more than ever, and it's not worth it. It's not, because when you look back on things, you're over it, you know, you get over it, and then you realize, man, I did something I shouldn't have done, and the damage has been done. So really think about what you do before you do it, and don't let two people that you don't know that are strangers to you dictate, you know, your personal relationships that you have with people now. So
yeah,
it's like saying, because you're a Cowboys fan, I can't associate with you because I'm a Redskins fan or a Washington football team fan. That's just dumb. Yeah.
But still, the Redskins suck. No, I'm just kidding.
They do.
I'm not really a Cowboy fan either. I just kind of, you know, go with the flow of family events.
But religion and politics should never be talked about unless that you can, you know, openly have a conversation and agree to disagree, you know. Yeah. But your religion...
Sports is kind of up there, but...
Your religion and your political view should not dictate on who you associate with, because... Each individual is unique, you know, no matter what you believe, you'll always find common ground with each other. And that's why, like, me and you can associate, because you're pagan and I'm Christian, and we always find common ground, you know, and at the end
somehow,
of the day, somehow, you know, we always find common ground. But yeah, I think that's a light note to leave on, and hopefully we're going to be back on track. So with that being said, Wait.
Do we remember how to
answer? I don't even remember the outro.
So, I'm going to just wing this. I might change it up a little bit, but...
I got it.
You got it?
I remember it now. Are you ready?
Let's do this. All right.
As always, stay safe.
And don't forget to talk about spooky.
Woo!
No part of the show can be reproduced without the permission of the host, Matt and Adam, from Talk About Spooky. Copyrights reserved.